In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Oh, oh Jésus seul, Dieu s'est fait chair, dans un enfant au cœur. Ce don d'amour, de sainteté, aïe parce qu'il va sauver. Jusqu'à la croix, il s'est livré. Sur lui la colère est tombée, tous mes péchés.
His body lay.
Lumière vaincue par les ténèbres. Quel jour glorieux il apparaît. D'entre les morts il se relève. Et sur ma vie par sa victoire le péché.
Fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever.
A better Echo Victor. You got a line.
We are light, and welcome to Faith Matters. You're listening to Marie and Denise, and we're going to get online and have a few chats soon, but I might play another song yet and chat about what we're going to chat about. Actually, I do think we know we're going to get into, aren't we? We're going to talk about Denise's blog, Love is Patient, Love is Kind. So this is going to be a good one. Tune in if you want to know more. Amen. Our best is still yet to come. And Denise, you're going to start us off today.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's so good to be in here with you, and it's so good to be at Friday.
Yes, isn't it just beautiful weekend ahead?
Yeah, so I thought you could lead us into your blog this week, Love is Patient, Love is Kind. Are you being kind or just being nice? That's the question mark that you have there. So
yes. That's a really interesting. I actually just sort of woke up when I did this blog that morning and just had the sense I needed to write about kindness, and I didn't really know where I was going with it. And I actually learned a lot as I was writing it, because there's a verse that says, love is patient, love is kind, and that's a famous line like in songs and all sorts of things, much quoted. And I kind of started to explore this concept that kindness is more than just being nice. We can be nice to somebody, but if it doesn't have that love aspect at the heart behind it, then we're just, you know, we're just being nice. But if we're actually kind to somebody, then it takes it to a whole nother level. And when I looked up the definition of kindness, it's the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. And so I started to think about those things, and I think sometimes we can be trying to help someone or do something that's positive, but if we're not considering where the other person's at and considering how they might receive it, or considering even just asking them, you know, how could I help you, then without that considerate aspect, actually it's not necessarily acting out of love, and it's not necessarily kind.
Well, I'm going to pause you. Tell me a little bit, unpack that a little bit, you know. Like,
which bit?
That first, what you just said before about, it's gone.
Being friendly, generous, and considerate.
Yeah, but without a heart behind it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting, because we can do something out of our own need and our own desire to perhaps look good or see that we look like we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But actually there's a kind of like a full stop there, and then our responsibility stops.
Mm.
You know, I did my bit, you know, and we can kind of walk away from that feeling like we've done a good job. But actually there may be more of a heart response that leads us to more connection with people, rather than being kind of disconnected from an action that we weren't really, there's no heart involvement in that. It's just a doing.
Yeah, yeah. That's really quite significant, because you think, you know, when you help some people, you're just like, you can see a need and you just try and meet the need.
Yeah.
But with other people, like if you think of, say, somebody who's had surgery or something and coming in behind them and maybe providing a meal or maybe just supporting them, however, when your heart's behind it, it's so much, just even the receiver can feel the difference that, oh, this person really cares about me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a learning that I discovered while I was writing it. Look, I hadn't thought about it from that angle before. I thought it was quite amazing, really.
Yeah, well, I think we can, like I say, we can do something out of an act, and it can make us feel good in the moment, but long term, have we really made a difference? I guess I'm thinking a little bit about the food bank at the moment and where that all started. You know, for me, right back, oh gosh, it's over 20 years ago now. Yeah, the food bank started really from a heart response. Not a head response of a need, but more so a concern for community.
Yeah.
And knowing that our community was separated by the divvy to Hamilton, you know, it's such a big drive to get there to the food bank, Salvation Army in Hamilton. And I remember when me and my husband and our kids were living out Ruapuki, and we needed a food bank, we needed that support. And at the time, we didn't have anything. We had very little, and we used to have to drive over to the food bank in Hamilton. And we had an old van that didn't have a registration, and I think the warrant was just hanging in there. It used to backfire. And it was a real mission because we knew we had an illegal car on the road, but we needed the food, and we were in a dilemma, like what to do. And we always, you know, the police were always kind of, yes, I'm on the radio, I'm just being truthful. But the police would be up on the divvy, their spot where they'd, you know, stop all the cars. Well, they don't do that anymore so much, thank goodness. But, so we used to stop the van at the bottom of the divvy, run around the corner, have a look, see if there's any police on the
top. Oh, well.
So that we could get through to Hamilton safely.
Yeah.
and come back without a $500 or $700 fine.
Yeah.
For not having
which
a
defeats the purpose
which
because
totally like we just couldn't afford that, so we had to think outside the square box a little bit to provide that. But the heart behind that is what drove the food bank to be out here.
Interesting.
Because, you know, I knew how if our family was suffering, then there were going to be other families that were suffering, and I wasn't the only one doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and so it motivated me to think more of other people than just myself, because I knew others were suffering.
Mm.
So the idea of the food bank really started there, with the desire to, you know, bring that out here and provide so that people didn't have to go over the divvy and didn't have to experience the, you know, just how horrible that was, you know, how it made you feel, you know, because you're doing your best. You had your kids. How many kids we have then? Four.
Yeah.
We had four kids, mixed family, young marriage, you know, just trying to make ends meet. We had food in the garden. We were doing produce. But, you know, we just couldn't we just needed that extra bit, you know, to get us through at times. So, yeah, that was really the heart behind it. And then the church, you know, came in behind that and supported that whole idea and that mm-hmm. whole heart to drive that. And we have the food bank today because of, you know, the heart to want, you know, our community to be provided for.
Yeah, and one cool thing about being involved up there is that there is a place there for people to just come in and just have a cup of tea and have a warm meal and walk out the door again. Like, even if they don't want or need groceries for the week, there's a sense of connection. It's more than just a handout. It's actually community building. So, yeah, it's pretty cool to be part of.
To come into a community, have a common unity.
Mm.
You know, I love that word. It's all about bringing things together. And I think Raglan's very much driven by its heart in how we provide for community. I think we have something really special here amongst the people, you know, extreme waste and where they started, you know, mm-hmm. the grassroots of all of that, you know, and the desire of the shop to be able for people to come in and get something at a bargain,
yes,
you know, and find a treasure.
Yeah.
It was, you know, that was the heart driven behind it. And, you know, the recycling to help clean up our waterways and, you know, to provide a service that was not happening in our community. And we were, you know, the rubbish dump was a rubbish dump back then. And, you know, I remember it well, you know, and the people that drove that to bring change weren't just people looking to service their own needs.
Yeah.
They were looking at a bigger picture, which was really a heart-driven.
Yeah.
And what I know about that, to grassroots people like that, they do the mahi,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what comes later down the track looks beautiful, but it's always the mahi, the ones who start it and drive that kind of hard ground.
Yes.
To where it's producing something of value.
Yeah.
You know, great people, and Raglan is kind of full of people like that, so we're very lucky.
Yes, Denise. Absolutely. And there is there's a whole bunch of the community which are heart-driven, like they're looking for needs and looking for ways that they can volunteer or serve to help, and that's really cool because they're meeting genuine needs. And I think that's probably where I got to with this whole concept of being considerate, is that you're actually wanting to meet a need and not just assuming stuff. And I think here in the Raglan community we are pretty blessed with a lot of people who have a heart for the place, whether it's a heart for the land, for the conservation, for, you know, pest management. There's all sorts of things that people get passionately involved in here.
I do wonder too, is because I wonder about if it's because we are quite separate from Hamilton. You know, we've had to kind of think outside the box a little bit and be a bit more heart-driven towards community because we're, you know, one road in, one road out, you know, quite separate. Yeah, it's quite a trip to get to Hamilton and petrol's not cheap. And so we want to kind of provide as much as we can within our own community. And I do think it's set apart and can be quite a picture of our other communities. You know, when I look at, you know, in the cities, there are communities within the city itself. But I'm not sure that it can be so heart-driven because people are moving around so much, so it's hard to make those connections in community.
Yeah, interesting what you're talking about there, because I'm sort of thinking maybe Raglan actually collected a bunch of people who had heart way back, and they were the ones who sort of set up this community, because you think of all the people who come out to visit, like people just love coming out just to be here, just to be in the atmosphere, and maybe that's the heart behind it. That's actually a big factor.
Amen. And with that, I think we'll go into a song. Yeah, let's do Relationship by Phil Wickham.
I know the one who made the stars. I met him on the bathroom floor. Was torn apart, didn't know what I was living for. I almost gave up, I almost gave up. You met me in the mess I made and told me I was meant for more. You pulled me out of my mistakes and led me through that open door. And that's when I woke up, and that's when I woke up, yeah.
Denise, that was Relationship. It's such a good one, isn't it? And that kind of takes us into what we wanted to talk about. Love is patient, love is kind. It's a scriptural verse, that one, and Denise knows more about the scriptural verses than I do. I just remember what's off the top of my head, but she's far more better at all this, so I'm just going to let her carry this one a bit.
What are we carrying?
I don't know. Love is patient, love is kind. in your blog, you talked about kindness being kind of like using it as a muscle. Like, although this isn't going to take us into the biblical concept of it, but you know, kindness, I think, doesn't always come naturally to us, and we can say we want to be kind, and we may do the actions of kindness, but you know, sometimes we can be holding ourselves back. Our heart response isn't actually there. It's not engaging with what we're doing. Yeah. We're just doing it as a face value, you know. And then we can become bitter and twisted about being kind because, you know, there's so many things that we see other people getting, and then how come they get all that and I don't get anything out of all the things I've done for you? I've got nothing in return, you know. And so there's kind of a bitter root there.
Yeah.
Out of when we give... out of a not real heart response, but more of a head response, and this is what I should do, and this looks good, but it's not really what I want to do. You know what I mean? And so we have to be a little bit careful, I think, when we are acting out of kindness, to check our own motives. Is this, am I doing this because I want some recognition out of it? How am I going to feel if I get no recognition? And that's, for me, that's certainly been one that I've had to deal with in doing things, you know. There's not always been recognition, and I think at the beginning of my journey I kind of like was like, oh man, I've done heaps and no one's even said thank you, you know. Or they're trying to divert it to somebody else as though they've done it all, you know, and it's kind of like, that's not right, you know. And there can be a bitterness that can come from that. And in my Christian walk, I feel Holy Spirit has really worked with that one with me for many years. It hasn't been just an overnight success. It's been a real learning curve for me to not want to put myself forward and go, well, hang on a minute. You know, that didn't just happen. You know, there was a whole lot of work that had to that went on behind the scenes for that to happen.
So that's the humility of, you know, actually, are you willing to be kind or to help out when there's no recognition? Are you, you know, is your attitude actually one of service, or are you just trying to get yourself some brownie points? Because often there's the comparison thing too. I can remember years ago I was part of a play centre in Hamilton, and I can remember a couple of the ladies there who were so, so lovely and helpful and service orientated, but it was really interesting listening to them talk because they thought of themselves as better because they helped practically and other people just threw money at a situation, and they didn't appreciate that. They didn't have necessarily the money resources to throw at it, but they, when they talked about people who had given money, they were dismissing that contribution and, you know, saying, well,
mine's better.
We gave them time, we actually care. And I think sometimes, yeah, when we get to that comparison, people do give in different ways. So if you're time rich, it's awesome to be able to get in there and help somebody with a meal, or to do something really practical, get in there and help somebody chop firewood or trim the hedges for somebody who can't, or those sorts of things. But actually sometimes there is the financial need and people can't make it without help. So, you know, when we look at each other's help or each other's contributions and we start judging what we think the other person's help was worth, we can get into some pretty dangerous territory. And our heart, you know, so it twists our heart posture. So it, then maybe we're not being so kind because we're actually just trying to pat ourselves on the back because we were more practical than this person, and so therefore our help was better.
True that. And, you know, I think it's good to recognise what we can give. You know, and if you're financially secure and you're able to give, then by all means, give out of what you can give. Don't give out of what you can't give. Because, again, that will produce a bitterness in us too when we watch or we see other people doing lots of good things and we feel, well, I can't give that and I don't have the time. You know, we can not feel like we are doing our bit. But there's so many ways to give. You can give a smile. that's pretty awesome when you're walking down the street and everyone's not recognising you and somebody says hello, you know, and smiles. It just kind of lifts you.
But see, why does it lift you? Because it's connection. So you're it's recognized. That connection behind it.
I was sitting down town actually. It was yesterday. I haven't come out and sat in the sun for a long time downtown.
It's because there wasn't any sun for the last few days.
No, but it was yesterday. It was beautiful. And I was down by the bus stop and I was just watching people walking past. And, you know, it was just that, you know, I got a couple of hellos, hi. You know, one was, hi, Marie.
Yes.
And it was lovely. It was kind of like community, but a lot of people I didn't actually know. But it didn't matter, the whole, you know, they were still kind of recognising you as you went past. You still felt like you were part of something just sitting there, you know. And that's those connections with people. They don't have to be big wow moments. Could be just a passing smile, or passing hello, you know.
But for somebody who doesn't feel seen, even just seeing them, giving them a smile and a hello is real kindness.
It is indeed. You know, or being kind to our youth downtown when they're playing down there and having loads of fun and saying hello to them, you know. Sometimes you get some response and sometimes you don't. It doesn't really matter. It's more about you're wanting to connect with those in your community and help us feel like we belong, I guess, in some sense. So
yes.
That's a kind act.
Yes. So you were talking about the kindness muscle. And I guess, I mean, you've probably heard me say a few times on here, we have a bit of a standing joke that I'm not that compassionate in my family. But I have found that if I can pause and actually consider my response sometimes, I'm starting to sometimes sometimes react kindly, sometimes react
You didn't
love.
See her face then.
But, like, because I allow myself to pause and think, okay, what would be a kind reaction in this setting? Now I've started to get a little bit of experience in that area.
I love
it. Sounds pathetic.
Sounds great. Sounds real.
But because I'm practicing it a little bit, I'm getting better at it. So now I recognise opportunity. I mean, I was always the sort of person who said hi in the street. But it's interesting, like when my kids were little, there's me and two of my boys would say hi to people in the street, absolutely. But one of the boys will stop with a complete stranger and have a 10-minute conversation and the rest of us are just like, really, do we have to? But, like, he's really got, now as an adult, you can see he's got a real heart for people and he loves connecting with people. It's like, wow, that was instilled, you know, that was in him right from a little dot. And so the rest of us, you know, we can observe somebody who's really kind and go, wow, what can I learn from this person?
Nice.
What could I start practicing?
Yeah, and it does come back to our desire to want to, acknowledge our own responses, I guess, you know, taking the time to stop and check in with yourself. Am I being real in my response or is this just an act? Is this just a front?
Yeah.
'Cause that'll work for a time.
Yeah.
Until somebody pushes in on you where you really don't want them to, and then all those things that is, you know, all those little niggly things that you've been holding back will start to come forward, and you start to get a little bit like, well, I don't want to give you my time, and no, I can't turn up, no, I can't do that, you know, I don't want it, and where's mine?
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about using the kindness muscle, it is like that. We have to practice, I guess. Practice smiling.
Yeah.
That's funny. I don't know. It could be one. If you're not used to smiling, you could perhaps practice that or practice saying hello or practice saying thank you.
I think the hello in the street's quite it's a part of our culture. Like, I can remember being in London years ago, and I was bumping into people because it was a full street, people everywhere.
Yeah.
And every time I bumped into one, I was like, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. And then finally, I was just like, no, nobody does that here. I'm just not going to. And then that day when I was just like stoic walking down the street, no matter who I crashed into, I bumped into all of these Kiwis who were like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
You know, it's interesting because my sister's just come back from my sister, has just come back from overseas, and she said to me that England was, she was quite surprised how everyone had their heads down and they were just barreling forward.
Because they have to create their own space, because there's so many people around all the time, you actually have to create your own space just to survive. Otherwise, you've constantly got people in your space and it's just not sustainable.
I think that's, it's almost like they need a wake-up call to lift their heads. Sometimes we do need to lift our head and look up rather than looking down and see what's around us. Or maybe we've gotten so used to looking down on our phones that it's become something that's, you know, a habit to us now, and we don't tend to look out.
It was before phones over there. That was before phones when I was bumping into people.
Yeah, I was quite shocked she told me that. I didn't realise perhaps what has... you know, what is happening to us, you know, as we disconnect from those around us because we get too busy or we're too grumpy or we're just too, because we've got to go to work and we've got to get home and it's miserable and life loses its shine.
Right.
You know. So, yeah, we don't want to be like that. So
that's the good thing about being in a small community is that we do have space. And, you know, for people who go out and enjoy the beach or go and enjoy the bush or whatever, they have that time to recharge. And so when you come back, you do actually have something to give.
Mm.
And actually, we don't always have to be giving. You know, sometimes it's actually okay to be in a season where you just are, you just be.
Just be, yeah, absolutely. I don't know what else I've got to say about that, so I might just go into a song, Denise. Yeah, keep your light shining.
Surrounded by cold water that won't let you wander wild and free. Lost with no direction, faith is shaking, feels hard to breathe. You've been having you such a hard time. You had to be strong to get here. Took a long, long time, but you're gonna be alright, alright. Keep your light shining. Nothing seems to be right, no peace inside. Try to feel that emptiness, the scars of your greenness, no place to hide. You've been having you such a hard time. You had to be strong. Long time, but you better be keep your light shining. Let it all shine on you. Let nobody put you down. Let nobody look down on you.
Down and out.
Here we go. That was a good one. We are the world.
We are.
Denise.
We're a part of it.
At least we were part of it. So love is gentle, love is kind.
Yes.
Go there, Denise, go there.
Well, there is also a verse that says God is love.
Amen.
And so there would be a whole lot of people who have issue with that. But the reality is, actually, God is, and what was it, friendly, generous and considerate. So I know that we talked a few weeks ago about how people kind of think of God as an angry God.
Yeah.
But he's not. He is friendly and generous and considerate, which is kindness. And so, yeah, our standard for what does love look like is actually, you think about God, who we, when we were separated from relationship with him, he gave his son so that we could have renewed relationship.
Yeah. Come back into relationship because that relationship had been broken.
Yep.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't, it's a hard concept for people to get their heads around, that God gave his one and only son for our sin, died on the cross, you know, and there's these steps that we say around what that all looks like. Mm. And for the, you know, person out there that doesn't understand all of this, it's kind of like, oh, what is all that about? And then, you know, Jesus died and then rose again 3 days later,
yeah,
was seen by people.
By hundreds of people, yeah, actually.
Eyewitnesses. Mm. You can't get anything better than an eyewitness account, and people need to realise that the Bible is eyewitness accounts of Jesus being alive after the crucifixion. Yeah. You know, and so we're talking about life after death here, and what that looks like, which is continued life.
Yes.
But it's a concept for us to, because, you know, we're not there yet. We're still living life. We haven't, you know, we haven't got to death yet, but I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, yay, but there is a 100% hit rate on death. We need to realise this. Not a 100% hit rate on life. There's no guarantee we're going to live, but I can guarantee 100% we're going to die. There is that hit rate. Yeah, I'm not too worried about it, Denise. We're all going to get there. We're all going to face it. Mm. You know, and sometimes we kind of need to know what this is about, so we're not so... We know a lot about life, but maybe we don't know so much about death. And I'm not so sure that this is the time today to be unpacking all of that. But the kindness of God's heart, you know, there's a whole story line behind this. It isn't just a one-hit wonder.
Yes.
It just didn't do something in the moment.
Yes.
There's a story behind this. It's a massive story. And in that story, there are eyewitness accounts, and that's pretty important.
Yes.
In this day and age, because everything we know about our history comes from eyewitness accounts.
Mm.
Or anything we might dig up archaeologically, I can't even say the word, is an eyewitness account of a different era.
And the cool thing about that, as far as the Bible goes, is in a place just northwest of the Dead Sea, a place called Qumran, was where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found not that long ago, within the last 100 years.
Century,
and
yeah.
They found the entire book of Isaiah, and they found fragments of all the other books in the Bible except the book of Esther, which incidentally sort of took place in another, you know, took place
in a
different kingdom anyway.
Right.
But they've got these documents that can verify that our translations that we have now, you know, they haven't changed dramatically over that period. You can go back to these fragments that were found, or the whole book of Isaiah that was found, that was written 2,000 years ago, which is back in the time of Jesus. And you can go, yes, it's actually the same thing. It's what we see is been faithfully transcribed and copied over the years.
Mm. Yeah, and yet we still, and I mean, you know, it's not an easy book to read, the Bible, Denise. It's not as though it starts at A and finishes at Z, you know,
it doesn't
go in this beautiful order and make perfect sense. it's intricate.
And there's different styles in there too. There's a style in there for every type of reader. There's poetry in there. There's narratives, interesting story. There's laws. There's all sorts of things in there. Songs.
Yeah. It's full of wisdom. I know that much.
Yep.
I remember when I got my first Bible that was given to me when I first went to church, somebody handed me a Bible, and I had read the Bible before as a young person because my nan was a Christian, and whenever I went on holiday, she would she'd be like, take me to church and reading the Bible to me and getting all that stuff in there because I wasn't getting it at home, and so it was jam-packed. And I kind of understood some of the stories that were in there, and you know, when I became a Christian as an adult, through my own choosing, when I opened up the Bible, it just was alive to me, Denise. Like I read things in there I'd never read before that made perfect sense to me, and were just a real richness that I wasn't getting anywhere else. It was like a real eye-opener. And that was just me opening the Bible and reading.
Yes.
That's how it worked for me at the beginning.
Yes.
And I would underline things. I love that Bible. I can open that Bible up now and know God is not magic, but it feels like magic to me because when I open it up, it's like God just talks to me and I just get such wisdom and comfort and sometimes knowledge or understanding how to do something that I didn't know how to do before. So it's a beautiful thing. But that was great at the beginning of my journey, but I needed to know the stories. You know, I needed to know the history of the Bible. And so that became important to me as I matured, I think, in my journey. It wasn't about getting the Dr. Feelgood feelings anymore and that God loved me and he's incredible and amazing and all those great things.
But that's all still true.
It's all still true, but there was some depth I needed to learn about the history, and I think this is where it gets tricky for people because there's so much, you know, how did that happen, or that's not possible, or, you know, how does that work? And and you have, you know, you've only got other people to talk to about this, and so it can be like, oh, and then theology comes into it, and it's like, oh,
yes,
you know, and then, so I did a bit of that, which it was interesting. I'm glad I didn't carry on, though, Denise.
Why is that?
Yeah, because I think I would have got too caught up in the theological and never allowed for God's Spirit to move me in his word. Yeah, I do believe it probably would have made me kind of a bit too,
Well, that's,
this is the way it is. It's this way only.
One thing I'm really grateful for, 2007, we had a really, really tough year, and I pretty much had a bit of burnout. But for me, I mean, I grew up knowing God's word and knowing God, and I had heard a whole lot of the Christian phrases that you hear people say. And that kind of, they were just phrases. They were just head knowledge stuff. And I went through a few months of being really, really kind of struggling. And all of a sudden, things just started to come alive that I had seen for years. My whole life I'd read the same thing. But all of a sudden, that I was actually searching and saying to God, God, show me what this means. Make it real to me. All of a sudden, my goodness, there was so much depth to what I was reading. And it wasn't that I was reading anything different. But all of a sudden, because my heart was in the right place to be searching and trying to connect with God, all of a sudden he's like, okay, well, cool. If you want to connect, here's a bit of understanding for you. And yes, let's do this.
That's awesome because I totally agree. It really is a heart thing.
Yeah.
Because we can have a head knowledge and that'll get us a long way.
Yep.
And it'll actually cause a lot of discussions and maybe even some arguments along the way, you know, because we can get into, well, this is what it says and this is why it says that. But, you know, one thing I want to say about theology, it's just our thinking, folks, okay? It's somebody else's
study of
thoughts.
God, yes.
Yeah, got to remember that. This is coming from someone else's thoughts. So, and that's good and that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. It might be tried and tested and true. But don't miss out on Holy Spirit and what God wants to say through his word to his people, that he can speak directly to you and me and anyone else here out there that wants that relationship.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is amazing. And so it's not this somebody has all the answers. I don't believe that. No. I think that people can help us to come discover answers, but I don't think there is a, you know, this is the answer.
And that's, I think that's the challenge, is that we've had, you know, over the years we've seen, you know, one person's interpretation, and somebody interprets it differently, and they end up clashing instead of going, hey, let's agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And it actually, you know, people looking in go, what the heck?
You guys don't even know. You're fighting amongst yourselves. But, you know, that is typical, though, of us as humans, because we're always looking for where's the discord.
Yes.
You know, if I can find the discord, I can kind of rip you apart a little bit, you know. I can rip this apart. And that's not coming from that kind muscle.
Yes.
You know, the kind muscle will allow room for difference.
The thing is, when we get, you know, to heaven, say things, you're saying that death is 100% hit rate. You know, when we have perhaps a fuller understanding of stuff, all of us will realise that we had something wrong. None of us are going to get to heaven and go, oh my gosh, I had it all right. Why didn't everybody listen to me?
I was the one.
But we don't know what we have got a bit off. And so, you know, if we do have somebody who has a different opinion, to be able to hold a different opinion respectfully is really important, because if we're fighting and scrapping over, you know, a difference of interpreting this little bit, that's not healthy for anybody.
I think curiosity and being interested are two great words.
Yeah.
These are counselling words. But I want to put it out there, to be curious about something. So if somebody has a different opinion to you, you don't have to get your heckles up and try and prove your point.
Nor do you have to agree with them.
No, but you can be curious and interested in what another person is saying and their perspective and why they may come to that point of view.
Yeah.
And that's okay if they are set in those ways. That's okay, because we can't change other people. We can only work on ourselves. And,
yeah.
And that's a great thing, because, yeah, we, you know, it's not a healthy thing to be telling other people how they should believe, or, you know, it's got to be a heart response from them, genuine.
Absolutely.
Not just an act
of
what we do. So we're going to head into the next song, I Dare to Move by Switchfoot.
Welcome to the planet. Welcome to existence. Everyone's here. Everyone's here. Everybody's watching you now. Everybody waits. What happens next? I dare you to move. I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself up off the floor. I dare you to move. I dare you to move. Like today it'll happen. Welcome to the fallout.
Life till it aches. trouble, make noise, laugh till it aches.
And play. It's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
We all need to play. Play is so much fun. We need to do a lot of that. It's good for us. Healthy.
Yep.
Healthy, healthy. And it's school holidays. I hope you're all playing out there at some stage, even if it's raining. You can still have fun.
I was walking with my niece along the beach yesterday. They happened to come out and I just saw this little piece of shell sticking out of the sand, and it was in the shape of a tooth. And I said, oh, is this a shark's tooth or a shell? Well, she picked it up and carried it like it was a shark's tooth, and I was looking at it going, yep, no, just a shell. She's so proud of her shark's tooth. I was like, oh, I don't really have the heart to break it to
no,
you.
No, you don't have to. How old is she?
7.
Yeah, no, don't break it to her. She's good. Let her have her fun. Okay, Denise, what are we going to read from in here?
Well, I just came across this thing on Facebook the other day. If you can't figure out how to be kind, figure out how to be quiet.
That's a hard one.
Ooh.
Ooh, it is a hard one because you've got to think about that, because often we want to, we have a reply ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
We're not good listeners. Often we listen to reply. But, yeah, I've practiced this one. It's not easy.
No.
Years down the track, I can tell you. It's, again, anything that we are trying, I think, to develop in us, it's never an overnight success. We have to keep doing it. We have to keep testing it out and keep trying. I'm a reactor, so when I get upset, I tend to just react. That is, you know, it comes from my childhood. It comes from me looking after myself, me against the world. I can't trust anybody, you know. So I tend to go in boots and all in defence mode. That has been my go-to since I was little. And so, you know, in my faith journey, God's really worked on that one in me, and I have learnt, and still learning, because I'm not always getting it right. I don't think there's ever a place where we just get it right.
No, exactly.
But I do notice when I am able to do this, the difference it brings. So when I don't react, or I don't say something, and I be quiet and I allow space and time to happen, the result is different for me. So it's great because I don't go offline. I don't feel this like overheated, I have to protect myself.
Right.
Even though I still might feel that, I am able to hold myself and give myself space and time to say what I really want to say, which is so pretty good half the time because it's calm, it's thought out, and it just feels better than me coming out with a whole lot of whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
You probably deserve it, but, you know, it's not delivered in any way that anyone's going to receive it.
And I guess keeping in mind what we've been talking about with kindness being linked to love, love is patient, love is kind, and the relationship, underlying relationship, that is an important part of kindness. Sometimes just being quiet allows the relationship to continue.
That's so good, and it doesn't break the relationship. Like if we react really quickly and say things out of turn, like when it's not really needed.
Yeah,
you know, it's more of a knee jerk reaction, and trouble with words is you can't bring them and push them back in again. Like, they're out there.
I remember somebody saying once upon a time telling me the story that words that come out a little bit like squeezing a toothpaste tube. Like, you can, if you squeeze a toothpaste tube, it's very hard to stuff the toothpaste back in.
Not going to happen.
So you can clean up the mess.
Yeah, it's pretty messy too.
But actually, you know, it would have been better if it had stayed inside the toothpaste tube.
So development of self is really important, eh? And I think this is our learning curve, is often we want other people to change, we want other people to see our point of view, or we want other people to agree when they don't agree. Mm. You know, and that's all about my needs being met and helping me to feel better about myself and all of that. But to sit in something and just be quiet, not, you know, just giving that moment and time, for one thing, my whole system feels calmer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going into trauma. I'm not saying things that, you know, I don't want to say.
Mm.
It's just reactive.
But sometimes it's uncomfortable to sit in that place.
It's so uncomfortable. Here we go. Sit. Test it out, what it's like to sit in the awkward moments.
Yeah.
Awkward moments is where our biggest learning curve can be. When we don't reply, when we don't lash out, and what's going to happen next, you know? And I found that we talked about new ground last week.
Yeah.
To me, this is all new ground, new experience, new, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going to happen here. And I think that's the exciting bit. And so I do want to encourage people. It's not all doom and gloom trying to exercise a kindness muscle that it's going to be so painful for us, you know.
Well, you build relationships. So you actually, you get relationship back.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, and there is a point of difference. Like, you're going to have an experience that you didn't have before. So maybe if you're in the heat of the moment and you've done something and, you know, maybe you apologise. Well, you know, that's a biggie. Maybe you ask somebody for their forgiveness. Like, do you forgive me for saying that? Not saying sorry, you know, because sorry can often sidetrack us from what we've actually done. Oh, I'm sorry about that, and we move on, you know. But if you say, do you forgive me for, you know, and what it is you did, wow, that's taking ownership. That's massive, Denise. That really is it's quite life-changing.
Yeah,
because we can say sorry and move on and not even really mean it.
Well, I was watching a TV show the other night, and this guy had done something wrong, and he absolutely point blank refused to acknowledge that he'd done anything wrong, and he was trying to educate this person. They ended up putting a personal grievance against him because he was like, but if you understand why I was telling you to do it this way, then you'd see that there's no reason for me to say sorry. And then he gets told by his boss, actually, there's a personal grievance against you. You need to be able to say sorry. And he said, I failed, I'm sorry. And I went, whoa. So he realized he'd failed, and he was sorry that he had failed. He was no relationship. It wasn't, I'm sorry that I hurt this person, I'm sorry that I was unreasonable, I'm sorry that they didn't understand. It was nothing about relationship. It was, I failed, I'm sorry. And I went, oh my goodness. And that was just a TV show, but how often, you know, we're like, oh my gosh, that put me out, I'm so sorry I did that, because now you know, I'm in a bad place. But how much of it is, I want to restore relationship here,
and not just restore our self-image,
yes,
but restore relationship with another person, because, you know, people matter and relationships matter. And I guess we can restore ourselves and feel okay about that, but no one's probably going to be in agreement if we haven't changed anything.
Mm.
They're just going to be like, oh no, we know how you're going to react. We don't want to go there. You know, like, ooh, stay away from that one. You know, it's not helpful for us. And then as we get older, we become stubborn. And then we're just unshiftable. What? Yeah. And then we're quite opinionated. And, you know, if we put our blinkers on, and we keep them on for too long, it becomes a habit.
Well, it does. You think about older people that you look at. You can look at an older person who's lived life on a particular trajectory, and it's kind of something will grow. So they're either a lovely, kind older person, or they're bit bitter, and you just want to be a little bit careful. Like, it does become more obvious the longer that you stay in a habit. It does shape who you are, and then people get to know that shape and go, oh yes, that is that's that person.
So there you go. So we've been talking about being kind, and what else? What was the other word?
Love is patient, love is kind.
Love is patient, love is kind.
I'm thinking I have to do a blog one day on love is patient, now that I've, you know, I skipped over love is patient, love is kind, and then just went straight to the kind. So I'm like, oh, do you want to talk about patience one day? That'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah. I guess, you know, again, it's always going to come back down to our self-development, and that's the human part of us. But don't forget, we have a spiritual part of us too that we can connect into in our faith, and Holy Spirit can certainly lead and guide us into new ways, new ground, new experiences that you might actually enjoy the development of self in a different way. You know, it feels quite... I've enjoyed developing parts of me that weren't developed before, Denise, you know, that are, you know, sticky parts in me, I guess, like, that's pretty gnarly, you know, why do I react to that so much?
Yeah.
But then I was, you know, I wanted to learn more about myself, and definitely not there, and I'll probably never be there, but I'm a lot further than I was, and I'm certainly not at the beginning. And I like where I am, and I like the fact that I can take time now, and in me, my heart response is better. I'm better.
So you can actually be kind to yourself, being friendly, being generous and being considerate of yourself. So, you know, considering your backstory, you can be kind to yourself as you're journeying and as you're learning.
I often say that to people, be kind and gentle to self. And we're going to head out on that one, because I think that's... you know, when we are going through things, just remember to check in with yourself and be kind and gentle to self while you're learning, while you're discovering new ground. Don't be harsh, oh, it didn't work, and I got this response.
And I'm useless.
It's not, you know, it's not working out for me. Just keep going, because, you know, the more you test out that muscle, the more you're going to be able to step into that new ground and experience things that are really freeing in our heart response and in our head response. So
awesome.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, if you're on a faith journey and you want to know more about Christianity and what it is to have a relationship with God, Holy Spirit and Jesus, you could join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. Raglan Area School. There'll be a great word and worship, and I think we've got Brendan Rickard speaking. He's carrying on in the sermon series around Romans.
Yep.
Great foundational stuff. Like, if you want to know about God or the foundations of the Bible and the stories and that time era and the people and why they were the way they were and all those sort of things, you know, church is a place to find out about all of that. But outside of that, we have relationship. You know, it's community and it's about people. So if you want to be part of the community and grow and develop yourself, then you're welcome to join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. Raglan Area School. Got anything to say before we head out, Denise?
Bye, have a lovely weekend.
Many blessings to you all.
God of Jacob, great I am, King of angels, Son of man, voice of many waters, song of heaven strong, louder than the thunder, make your glory known. Judah,
let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar.
Prepare the way of the Lord.